We begin today reading chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. And for the next weeks, we will continue reading sections from this chapter. And this presents us with a wonderful opportunity to think again about a wonderful gift of the bread of life. So the next weeks, as long as we're attentive, will be a spiritual journey, an intentional spiritual journey in which we can rediscover the gift of the Eucharist. And this journey will be a sort of new exodus. We will be following Jesus, who is the new Moses. In the Gospel today, this image appears in a very eloquent way. We heard that after performing powerful signs, Jesus crossed the sea with a crowd. And then he went to a mountain through a deserted place where he fed a large crowd with abundant bread. So this journey in which we will follow Jesus intentionally as a new Moses is therefore for us as well a sort of Passover, meaning that we begin where we are now spiritually and hopefully we will end somewhere else. Hopefully we will grow in freedom. And one important aspect of this freedom is freedom from our own distorted or limited views. We see this today. The Lord wants us to teach us to see things, to see reality through His eyes, to learn how to think like He does. And the best school to learn how to think as a disciple, as a true Christian, to think as Jesus thinks, is precisely the Eucharist, the encounter with the bread of life. St. Irenaeus, back then in the 2nd century, very early, said these truly amazing words. He said, "The Eucharist establishes our opinion." The Eucharist establishes our opinion. We learn to think according to what we experience in the Eucharist. Let's see one application of this truth. In today's Gospel, we read of a very complicated situation, a real problem. The disciples were supposed to feed thousands, literally thousands of people, without having the resources to do so. Truly a very complicated situation. And, of course, the disciples very quickly saw the objections, which were true. The salary of 200 days wouldn't be enough to give each person just a little. And then when a tiny glimpse of hope was coming out, because someone came with 5 loaves and 2 fish, then of course the objection right away, what good are these for so many? Humanly speaking, they were absolutely right. They were very good. The disciples were always very good at calculating, but they were not that great at trusting. And this is a very common way of reacting to problems. We, humanly speaking, in a very understandable way, we tend to see the objections. We tend to complain about what's missing. And it could be that it is actually missing. But that's where we always go. How did Jesus act in this same situation? He did not complain. He did not lament. He gave thanks. And it is not that Jesus was just pretending to give thanks because he already knew what he was going to do. The Lord actually, sincerely gave thanks for those 5 loaves and 2 fish. He was grateful for that act of generosity. He gave thanks. And if we transliterate, really, we can say that he gave thanks. He Eucharistized that bread. And so he unlocked the power of God. And this is so important because, again, the Eucharist establishes our opinion. We learn to think. It is important because we all have problems. Sometimes small problems that are annoying, sometimes real big problems. Sometimes we all experience some of these challenges, which are real. Just to think these days about the confusion we all experience in the church, the division, and in the world, in society. The problems are real. And like the apostles, at least some of us tend to focus on what's missing, on the big obstacles that, honestly, we cannot even begin to try to overcome. And this is where the opportunity comes for conversion, for thinking as Christ does. And so, if the Eucharist establishes our opinion, then, without denying the problems, we would learn from Jesus to first give thanks for what we do have. And then we would work on those things that we can actually achieve without worrying so much about things we can do nothing about other than pray. We would focus on what we are called to give, little and insignificant as that may be. So rather than worrying so much and complaining for what's missing, our thanksgiving would unlock our hearts to receive the power of God, and amazing things would happen more often than they do. Our active and conscious participation in the Eucharist, especially when it comes with sincere openness, can lead us slowly but firmly to be more and more free of our wrong and limited views. It is here at Mass, more than anywhere else, that we are taught to think like Christ. And not only because here we read some sections and then there is a homily, it is more than a lesson. It is more than some kind of spiritual catechesis. It is here that our minds are transformed into Christ, especially through our communion with Him, because then we become more like Him, we are more redeemed. It is here then that we learn to trust, that we learn to give thanks. For as we chanted in the psalm, He answers all our needs. It is true that He doesn't always answer all our needs exactly as we want or when we want. But without doubt, in unexpected ways, He always answers all our real needs. So, following the exhortation of St. Paul today, let us try to live in a manner worthy of our call, and so more free of those limited, at times selfish views, and more open to the surprising providence of God. The next weeks, then, can be, and hopefully will be, a journey to appreciate anew the gift of the bread of life. May we make a choice right now, and may we pray for the grace of just being open and attentive, so that in a few weeks we will see that our hearts are renewed with new and fresh awe, gratitude, and love for the gift of the bread of life.